good morning, and welcome to episode 107 of Life Song Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks along with Phil Ramsey. Welcome into another edition and another episode of the program. Good morning.
Good to be here, Pastor Hicks.
How you been? How's your week been?
It's been good. I had a great week. I was able to want to give a shout out to Tanner Stewart. Of course, I've known him since he's been born. Was probably at the hospital when he was born. But Tanner goes to Brighton Middle School, and he invited me to come out and speak to their, they call it Youth Alive. You know, if you go to Covenant, it might be FCA, mm-hmm. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I think at Brighton it's called Youth Alive. So we had about 40 children out, and I was able to speak to them. We had a great time, and I want to thank Tanner for inviting me to speak. I really enjoyed it.
Did they understand what you... I know you can be difficult to listen to sometimes. So did they understand what you were?
Well, you have to. And my mother told me that. I was talking to her on the phone. She says, Phil, you've got to stop. I says, what? And she said, she listens to the program on the internet. And I says, look, when we're studying Galatians, we can't go back every week and cover everything. So we just... On the format of the show, you just have to keep going with what the Bible says. But when you are speaking and you're talking to people, you do recognize who your audience is. I did recognize that they were 10, 11, and 12 years old.
Good.
So therefore, guess what? You get down on their level.
That's right.
One thing you don't change, and sometimes we do this, anytime that God allows me to speak by His grace, my goal is to always present the gospel. Mm. So the gospel is the same for a 5-year-old, and the gospel is the same for an 85-year-old. So the gospel is the gospel. That's one thing you don't change.
That's right.
But how you speak, that's a different story.
Yeah.
So I got down and we had fun and we talked and we laughed. But man, they listened to at the right times. I think they were challenged, and the topic was we examined our life to make sure that we were in the faith. Hmm. And that's something we all must do.
Daily, Paul says.
Absolutely. I told them, I said, look, on the way over here, I'm praying. I said, Lord, is my heart right? Am I doing this for the right motive? Am I seeking any glory? Which the Lord don't play that, if you don't know that by now.
Yeah.
So I was examining to make sure that my intent was right. I was praying that he spoke through me. And so we examined our lives to make sure, you know, just because you're in a class or in a church or a teacher or whatever, that didn't mean that you're automatically born again. So we must examine our lives to see if what we say with our lips actually plays out in our life.
Yeah.
And that applies. That's a lesson for all of us, whether you're 11 or 111. And also this morning, I'm teaching Sunday school at First Baptist Church. If you're in the area, I'll be teaching in Mark Stewart's class. We're talking about purpose. What God has a purpose. And He has a purpose for your life, and we're gonna really look at what that means. And it's talking about, you know, Israel, and then it's going on into our individual lives also. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area, come on by.
Well, Phil, I'm excited to get into our study today. Galatians chapter 4, these first few verses, oh my goodness. It's kind of a continuation from chapter 3, from what we studied last week. It kind of continues over and spills over into this. It's one, I guess what we studied last week with this is one constant flow of a thought from Paul. So we probably do need to go back and read a little bit of 3 just to keep into this when we get into it. But man, this is some big truth. This is some truth that Paul was giving the Galatians, that basically he was trying to let them know that they'd already been set free. And this is some truth that will set us free. If we
sure will.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Jimmy, but I used to fly airplanes. Did you know that?
I absolutely did.
If you'd like to go flying sometime. Mm. So years ago, I used to fly airplanes. I actually went to school to fly planes. And I did get my license and progressed a little bit on further, but never did go all the way for a career. But I really enjoyed it. And I saw some parallels of what we're dealing with in Galatians to actually flying an airplane. And what the parallel is, the law of gravity. Do you believe in the law of gravity?
Well, yeah, sure.
I mean, if you just wanted to jump up and take off and fly, could you?
No.
It's impossible.
Absolutely.
Why? Because gravity is a law and it pertains to everybody. And I remember when I'm on that runway, you know, I get in the plane and I apply the throttle. And all of a sudden, when I reach the appropriate speed, the plane lifts off the runway. Okay? And that is a picture of God's grace.
It does it on its own.
It does it because the gravity's still in effect. But because I'm in the plane, it doesn't do away with gravity, but it overcomes the gravity.
I get you.
And so when you're in Christ, okay, you can overcome, or you will overcome, and you're not held by the law. You are an overcomer, and you are in Christ. And yes, this it exists, but not for you,
right?
Because you're in Christ.
What we're seeing here, and you know, we'll get more into depth with this as we go through the morning. But what we're seeing here is not only are you free from that law, as you're talking about in Christ, but you're also free to shackle yourself back to it, which is what the Galatians have done. They've shackled themselves back to the law.
Yeah.
When Paul is saying, "Dude, you don't need to do this. You're free from it. Stop it."
We're all bent that way, though, if you think about it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to get into it, so let's take a quick break, and we will be back, and we'll dive right into Galatians chapter 4 right here on Life Song Radio.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.
Jesus Changes Everything, Life Song Radio.
Welcome back to Life Song Radio. I'm Phil Ramsey, and I got my, go ahead and say it.
Radio. Sorry, I like the way you say that.
Thank you. Jimmy Hicks here with me, and we're going to review what we did last week and then jump off into four. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word. We consider it an honor, and we're so grateful that that we have it. And we just pray for our lesson today, that we can learn what your word says, apply it to our lives, and transfer it to others. Again, we thank you. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's kind of hard to go further until we look back. So won't you, I mean, just read what we did last week and then you got.
Well, and like I said, this is one continuous flow of thought. So we need to kind of keep it together. We'll start in chapter 3, verse 26, and then move to chapter 4, through verse 7. So, therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not suffer at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and of a son, then an heir through God. Amen.
Jimmy, so we see this week, like last week, we're showing a contrast, a before and after a conversion.
Yeah.
We're seeing somebody under the law, and then somebody who's been set free from the law. We're seeing babes in this coming lesson, children who become sons. So we're seeing, just like last week, a before and after grace.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And before, it's not good.
We also see that in God's eyes, there's neither Jew or Greek, rich, poor, black, white, red, yellow, we're all the same as far in a spiritual sense. We're all come to him by faith, by God's grace through faith. And there's he's not a respecter of persons. So we shouldn't be all either. So we see that there's no respecter of persons. There is authority set in place, though. And authority doesn't mean, in all reality, Jimmy, you are the head of your household. God has put you in authority and put me in authority over our families. Not that we're higher in position, but in authority we are. Mm-hmm. So there, even though we're all are equal, there are things that are set up where there's authority involved.
Yeah.
So just to kind of get that straight. Now, I know in your house, your wife's authority, but as we go through these studies, hopefully this will switch.
This will help me take the rightful place as leader of my own home. Well, you know, like you said, the last chapter was basically, you know, especially the last few verses, he was, Paul was very well outlining to them that, you know, that they've been imprisoned under the law. They have been prisoners. And now with their new relationship in Christ, there's something different. They are heirs to something. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we continue with this week. The first few verses, Paul is basically, and you have given this illustration in the last couple of weeks, where you, I don't know whether you were skipping ahead or were making a point to where we were at, but you gave the illustration of basically the way it was back in that time. And so Paul gives this illustration because he knows his audience is going to understand what he's talking about. And he's basically comparing this to households where the sons are not, they're treated as slaves, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Until they reach a certain age. So they're put under the rule of one of the adult slave men in the home. They're put under his rule, so the children, they will play and have relationships and grow up with the slave children, even though these children are heirs to their father's, to everything their father has. Until they reach that specific age, they are slaves under the power of this slave that's in the home. And then this slave can do everything from discipline them to whatever. And so that's what Paul is basically illustrating.
Doesn't it just come alive when he does that?
Absolutely.
Let me read it. Let's just break it down a little bit more. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date, I love this, set by the father.
Mm.
So also, we were children. We were held in bondage under the eternal things of the world. So this child is, like you said, an heir to everything the father has. But as he is a child, he has guardians and managers. Last week we talked about tutors. So actually, here's a few more people that are in the household along with the tutor.
Mm-hmm.
The tutor carries him back and forth to school. The tutor disciplines him. And as a child, he is under that. When you're under that authority, I would say it's not fun at all.
No.
It's a lot of rules and regulations. And when you're a young child,
right,
the last thing you want is rules and regulations. So he is under the guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So this ain't a date that we come up with, you know, in a spiritual sense. There is a time and place that's set by the father for all of us also.
Yeah.
It says, because we were little children held in bondage under the eternal things of the Lord. But let's even look at that culture a little bit. In the Jewish culture, Jimmy, I was reading about bar mitzvah and I guess it's bat mitzvah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So bar, in the Hebrew, bar is son and mitzvah is command. So the boys at the age, I believe it's 13 and girls is 12, they have a bar mitzvah, I can't even say it. So go ahead and say it one time for me. Set me straight.
Bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah.
There you go.
I'm not a Jew, okay?
No, you're not.
But this, a lot of times we think about this, and it is a ceremony. It's an actual ceremony that takes place. But a bar mitzvah is very personal. It's really about a person.
Yeah.
So at a certain age, and for a Jew, for a boy, it's 13. For a girl who's a Jew, I believe it's 12. And this is an actual time in their life that they cross over. The father hands them over to God, who is he is now fully responsible to God's commands and laws. 100%. He can now take part in all the ceremonies that go on, but he gets out from under the authority of the father, and now he's under God's commandments. And I'm sitting here thinking, you think about this, Jimmy, what a miserable life to live under the law. So when this little boy turns 13, guess what? Boom, you obey. Okay, obey rules and regulations until grace.
Right.
During that bar mitzvah, that father would pray, "Blessed be thou, O God, who hath taken from me the responsibility of this boy." And the boy would pray, "Oh my God, and God of my Father, on this solemn and sacred day, which marks my passage from boyhood to manhood, I humbly raise my eyes unto thee and declare with sincerity and truth that henceforth I will keep thy commandments and undertake to bear the responsibility of my actions towards thee. So at that age, hey, he says, I'm going to keep your commandments. And I got news for him. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. But, you know, that's the Jewish side. But over in the Greece, the Romans, they did not have the bar mitzvahs or the bat mitzvahs. They had other ceremonies. The age was different. It was anywhere from, I think, between 14 and 18 years old. And on this ceremony, the boy, when he would come to the ceremony, he would bring all his toys and everything he played with and leave them there.
Right.
The girl would bring all of her dolls and all her little pretties that she played with, and she would leave them there. And that was saying that I'm now, you know, Paul said it. He said, when I became a man, I did away with childish things. And that he was referring to that ceremony or that time that they would set aside the childish things and put those things away. So that's the two sides of what the Jews did. And then on the Greek side, the Roman side, that's the ceremony that they had. Man, they're in trouble. We all were in trouble.
Yeah. And it's really interesting to see where Paul is talking and taking and using these illustrations to illustrate the point of not just salvation, but just not salvation, but rather spiritual growth, because salvation's already occurred. These are children of God. These are saved people that he's talking to. He's not talking to unsaved people, so he's not saying that you may not be saved. He's saying that, you know, what you've done to yourself, because you are children of God. You have these promises and these this inheritance,
right,
and you've shackled yourself back to the law. And we'll get into that. But basically, as we look at, you know, what Paul is trying to alliterate to them, is that you look at a child. All right. And so the word child is nepios in the Greek, or nephios, or nephios. And basically, it has the meaning, or can be translated to mean babe, and or minor. And so
one without understanding.
Right.
Infant.
Right.
Also.
Right. And so what is a child? A child is one that's on milk. Right. And so he's unable to partake in the solid food of Christian doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Paul is saying here is that you were children before. You were babes. You were children. And there's a point in time that
that they'll become a son.
Yeah.
And a child, like you said, one without understanding. This is, and you said it just a second ago, we're not dealing with lost folks here. These children, they're heirs to the promise. So in time, there will be a time set by the Father that these children will become sons officially in time. But right now, they're not.
That's right.
And we also see here, I'm struggling with this a little bit, in bondage under the elemental things of the world. Do you know, a lot of people debate that, a lot of scholars debate that, what that actually means. Do you have an opinion of what you think that means?
Yeah.
What?
Can I illustrate it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's say you are your child, you know, in kindergarten, they taught you your ABCs. All right. And so what you did is you come in every day and you go ABCD all the way through. You just say your ABCs all day, every day. That's how you learn them. All right. Well, then as you get older, you graduate from that, and you graduated through college. You've got all this knowledge. All right. Well, once you graduated from college with a degree, you're finished. All right. You've got this knowledge. You return back to say your ABCs. You just ABCDA, like you've not grown it. So you've returned back to those things that you learned at the beginning.
The rituals that you did.
Right.
Ceremonial rituals
right.
that you did.
And so basically that's what he's saying.
I don't know. It sounds good to me, but I'm gonna keep studying that. One writer said ceremonial rituals of human religion. I don't know, I need to look at that a little bit deeper. The elemental things of all human religion, whether Jewish or Gentile, ancient or modern, involve the idea of achieving divine acceptance by one's own efforts. And they are elemental in that they are only human, never rising beyond the mundane to the divine. One author says that.
So when we're children, we're held under those, it says, under those elemental things or those elemental bondage of the world. And so basically, you know, we've already talked about what Paul is explaining here in this text or in this entire book. He's saying, look, there is a purpose for the law. The law is what brings revelation of Christ and revelation of grace. But once that grace has been received, then there's no need for the law anymore. You don't live under the law, you live under grace. But what it is they've come to grace. They've experienced and received the grace, but they've returned to the law like they're subjugated or subject to the law, and they're not. You know, it's those are the element, the ABCs of the revelation of God. That's what the law is. It's the ABCs of the revelation of God. That's how the grace is revealed to you and your need for a Savior. Mm-hmm. They've returned back to the law again, as if it's as if that's what saved them. But God's grace is what saved them.
There was a bear in a cage. He lived in a cage most of his life. It was a 12-foot by 12-foot cage. As this bear grew, the owner of the bear said, well, I'm going to put him in. Now, this bear, he had lived there for several years. He was still growing, and he had learned that cage so well that he could literally close his eyes and walk from side to side and not hit. He'd know when to stop, when to turn. He could do anything he wanted to, because he was confined by the 12-foot cage his whole life. And then his owner said he's getting too big for the cage. So he built a 36-foot by 36-foot cage. He put the bear in there. You know what the bear did? Stayed within a 12-foot square.
Hmm.
He never would get beyond what he had known his whole life.
Yeah.
And so the Galatians, under law, everybody under law, but Paul's talking to the Galatians here, letting them know that they're no longer bound by the 12-foot cage.
Yeah.
They're now in grace. They're in grace. And so it's, even in our society now, and even as a born-again Christian, you can always look back in your life and you see where you're kind of always trying to revert back to doing good things to earn favor with God, which is impossible. So, you know, they struggled with it. We struggle with it. Mm-hmm. But we got to trust what God's word says.
Well, and you know, we always say, you know, we get those. We all do. You do this, and I do this too, and everybody does. Who is saved is you fall into some sin. When that moment comes and you're convicted by it, and you repent for it, you start to think, God, you know, am I really saved?
Mm-hmm.
Have I done enough here? You know, am I really your child? Because how can I be doing this? I'm not. And we just tend to forget how big his grace is.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever really
be free of that.
Wrap our minds around it, just to be honest with you. Let's go to the next verse, which would be
4.
But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, what we might receive the adoption as sons. So, but when the fullness of time came, well, what does that mean? The fullness of time. What does that mean?
Well, the fullness of time came. Here, you know, if we're speaking in a physical sense of what we've been talking about in Paul's illustration here of the son in the home with the slaves being his master and ruler, there's a point in time that would come that the child was no longer under the rule of those slaves, and also not no longer under the rule of his father, in a sense, because he had become, quote-unquote, a man, right, and an heir and a son. And so putting it in this sense, there was also when the fullness of time had finally come, putting it in a spiritual sense, when was that fullness of time? It was right here what it says in verse 2. It was a date set by the Father. And so when we look spiritually at this, there was a point in time in which there were things that were happening that were being prepared, and then there was the time that God had set forth for Christ to come.
Well, there's a lot of things that are going on in that time period, and it would take us 2 or 3 hours to really break down the events that happened in this time period before Christ came. But it was God's sovereign plan to send him in the fullness of time, and the time was right. What's neat about this, Jimmy? God sent forth his son. Look at that word sent. It didn't say that he was just now brought on the scene. Jesus has been here for eternity, and God sent him. So he, you know, the one and begotten son. Well, yeah, he took on flesh. He was born of a virgin, took on flesh. But God sent him. He wasn't born then. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law. Jesus Christ, born of a woman, was under the law. Guess he was subject to every law. Every law he was subject to. And he did one thing that none of us can do, and he kept the law. So he is the only one in human history that's ever kept the law perfectly. But he did. Yeah. He had to. He died the perfect death, but people don't realize this. He had to live the perfect life. Hmm. That's how we get his righteousness. You have to be perfect.
Yeah, this just, to, you know, I guess to go into another explanation, it's this fullness of time is just, you know, it's basically how we need to understand it is it's God's timetable. It's God's, you know, as you said, it's his sovereign plan but that he set forth before the foundation of the world. There was never a time in the mind of God that Jesus was not going to come and be the substitute for mankind. So this was the time that he had set forth that it was going to happen. This was the fullness of time. He sent his son. And so what we've been talking about, this illustration of this slave and this child who lives under the rule of the slave in the house, and he becomes a slave himself. This former period, this whole universal period of slavery, when Christ came, when God sent his son, that whole universal slavery period ended, and there was basically a new era ushered in, and it was freedom.
Jimmy, some may disagree, and I'm looking at this scripture here. 900 years before Jesus was born, God prophesied. He said, as in Hebrews 1:5, I will be a father to him. He shall be a son to me. So in eternity, we know that there's three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But as far as the name, the Son, and you can educate me, and I could be wrong, it really didn't take place. We say when we refer to Jesus, we call him the Son, right?
Yeah.
But in time, the name Son only happened when he was born of a virgin. Now, is that a rabbit, or do I even mention that?
I don't know. That might be going into a whole nother show.
Educate me, somebody. But he shall. I will be a father, and he shall be a son. These are things that happen in the future. So, but we always reference him as the Son. And I mean, even eternity past, we do.
Right.
But as far as the official name, I think only when he was born of a virgin was he called a son.
Hmm.
Now, look, if you disagree, email me, teach me. I want to learn. Let's keep going.
Well, I think, in terms here, let's talk about this just a second. And I don't know whether I'm chasing a rabbit here or not, but you know, really, we can't understand God's salvation plan, his plan of salvation, and his redemptive work throughout history without understanding it in the framework of the actions that he took throughout history. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to look at it. You know, we can't look at it in a way that violates what has already been revealed to us through a timeline that is in his word. We can't look at it in any other way. So what we need to say, what we need to realize is the actions God took throughout history is he gave a promise that he was not going to take back, a promise to Abraham, right? 430 years after that promise, God gave the law through Moses. After that, at a time that he set forth, he sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship of each of those acts or each of those things that God did throughout history provides us with some kind of timetable and some kind of framework that helps us understand the redemptive work of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we should, you know, abandon systematic theology or anything like that, but it helps us to develop logical expositions when we look at the meaning of salvation. We always have to remember the structure of God's work throughout history. That's where the confusion of the Galatians come in. See, they attempted to inherit the promised blessing by Abraham by keeping the law, but they failed to understand that the law had been given 430 years after the promise. They couldn't change terms of the promise, and so that couldn't be a condition for inheriting the blessing. So what was happening was they were attempting to make progress in their spiritual life by observing the law after believing the gospel. So they failed to understand that it was understanding the law before believing the gospel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they were trying to reverse that order that God had had set forth through history.
Can't be done.
No.
Can't be done. So Christ was born under the law in order that he might redeem those who were under the law. Paul explains in Romans 8:3-4, it says, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us." So, like every other man, Jesus was born under the law. And like every other Jew, he was under obligation. He had to obey it. And because he lived in perfect obedience, he was able to redeem all other men who were under the law, which is Jimmy and Phil.
Yeah. See, what he did was he put the chains on himself. And by doing that, he removed the chains from us. Right. So he took the obligation and the curse of the law on himself. And in doing so, he set us free from both the obligation and the curse.
So all this happens, Jimmy, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. I love that. We know that God has only one son, one monogenes, one gene type, and that is Jesus. There's only one gene type. But because of adoption, we can be adopted into the family, getting the same legal rights as the son.
Mm.
And in the Roman world, adoption was an honored custom, and it gave special dignity and family membership to those who were not born into a family.
Mm.
Often, a wealthy childless man would adopt a young slave who would trade his slavery for sonship, with all its privileges.
Yeah.
So that adoption, we're adopted into the family by faith. And back in that time, adoption, it was exchanging slavery for sonship.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So, you know, God sent his son. God sent Jesus. And by his divine nature, was the Son of God. And so he sent him so that we, who are slaves to sin, slaves to our sin, he sent him so that we were not his children by nature. We might be his children by the adoption. And so once we are his children by adoption, we receive the full rights and as sons and become sons. And so now we have the same name. We've got the same inheritance, the same position, the same rights as the Son of God himself.
And the same love.
Yeah.
The love that God has for his son, and now we're a part of that.
Mm.
That's big.
Yeah.
Next verse. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now, a human father can't give his own nature to an adopted child, but God, he can do that and does by sending his Holy Spirit to dwell within hearts of believers. And then when it says here, Abba Father, that's, you can't get any more personal than that. God is the creator. He has created everything that we see in human history, in all eternity. In that sense, he is a father of all, right? Mm. But there's something different about Abba Father. There's something there. It is the most personal name that you can give.
It's just as if you would say Daddy. It's what it means,
don't it?
Yeah, well, it means Father. It's an Aramaic word, and it was used by children, and it would be within the confines of an intimate conversation in the home. So it was just so personal. And so that was, you know, that was the remarkable aspect of the life of Jesus, is when he would pray to the Father, he addressed him as Abba in his prayers. Mm. And he taught the disciples to do the same thing. So, man.
That's big. Yeah. Paul wrote in Romans 8:14-16, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." How do you know you're a child of God? Because your spirit bears witness, because the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit.
Paul is just, I guess he's hammering home this metaphor that, you know, they're no longer slaves, all right? They're no longer slaves, but as children of God, they're heirs of his promises. So to take on the law now would be to return to being a slave. Mm. They would return to that life of a slave when they no longer have to. They're so personal with God now because he is their Father. He is their Abba Father. He is their Daddy. And he was saying, look how personal this relationship is. You were a slave before, but now look how personal, how close you are. So to return to the law as you've done is just returning to slavehood and returning to being a bondservant. Look at the history of God. The whole triune nature of God made this happen. And now you have become a son through the belief in the gospel, and you've received the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's trying not to leave any doubt in their mind that circumcision and observance of the law are not a part of the gospel of Christ. The agitators, the ones that have raised up in the church, the Judaizers, they've added on those requirements, and they've perverted the gospel, and they've led these Galatians astray. And that's what he's trying to tell them. Look, no.
It's like this. Let's say Jimmy was in prison. Let's say for about 15 years, Jimmy was in prison. And then somebody came and set you free. And Jimmy walks out of the gate, walks out of imprisonment, and then all of a sudden goes back into the prison. Why would you do that? Mm. And that's what Paul's saying. Why would you want to return back to chains? Why would you want to go back to slavery? I will say this, and sometimes we kind of lose grasp of this. While under the law, we are slaves to sin, but under Christ, we are slaves to his righteousness. So there is still a slave relationship, but it's just a really good one. In this slave relationship, where do you stand?
Yeah.
You know the Father. In this relationship, you have the inheritance. In this relationship, you're sitting in heavenly places. So it's a different kind of a relationship, but still called a slave. But I don't have a problem being that kind of slave, do you?
Not at all. Because see, what it is before, you know, you're a slave to sin. You're a slave to your sin. So you can't help but sin. You have to sin. You have no choice.
It's all you want.
And you can't not sin. But now, as a son and as adopted son of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and now you have the freedom to obey Christ. So you have the choice not to sin, mm-hmm. where before you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just say, you know, as we wrap this up today, in the context of what we've studied today, I think a person, whether it be a preacher standing behind a pulpit or whether it be someone who hits the streets and talks to people about Jesus in their everyday life, which we should all be doing. We should be looking for conversations every single day, multiple conversations. But we need to put some serious thought in the gospel that we're presenting. We really do. Because I don't think a person can claim that they've shared the gospel when the content of the message is limited only to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, the gospel is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but look at Paul's doing here. He is being so triune about it. He has taken the Trinitarian nature of God, and he has made sure that he has outlined that. So the gospel content that Paul shared was not only about the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, but it was also feel about the works of the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. So in his letter here that we're studying and in what we're looking at in Galatians, he has showed us the roles of the Trinity in our salvation. And so Paul wouldn't have asked him, well, have you received Jesus? I believe he would have said, instead of saying, have you received Jesus into your heart? He would have said, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Because that is your identity. That is, now you know that you have identified with Christ because you have the Holy Spirit whom he sent. That's your inheritance. My goodness. Man, that's big.
Yeah.
We have to be faithful to the Trinity.
I tell you, this has been very eye-opening to me. I've really learned a lot about God's law and the purpose of God's law. I tell you, Jimmy, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to God and his gospel, there's grace. But why do we need grace? Why in the world do we need forgiveness and we need grace? Well, we do because God is holy. God is perfect. He's just, he's gracious, he's loving, but he's also wrath, full of wrath. And what is that wrath for? It's wrath for sin. He cannot coexist with sin. Because he's perfect and holy and righteous and a good judge, and a good judge always does what's right, and right is to punish sin. Because we were born under the law, every one of us have broken God's law. There's not one person that ever lived other than Christ that has not broken God's law. And that's called sin. And sin nailed him to a tree. So God hates sin. And he has to punish sin. That's the bad news, because we're all sinners. But the good news is Christ came to pay for sins. He came to actually, the word is to take, the picture is taking my place on the cross. I'm the guilty one. I'm the lawbreaker. And Jesus took my place and became a curse and paid the fine and the penalty that I could not pay. And he did it. He said, and my response to that is to repent of my sins, turn from my way of life, and believe him. Believing entails your mind, your will, your intellect, your decisions. Every part of your life is believe him. And, cry out for mercy. Cry out for mercy. The Bible promises he will save you. Why do we need a Savior? Because we've broken God's law. And that's why he came, to be a sacrifice.
So I would say that if there's anybody out there who has any questions on what, not just on what we studied today, definitely on what we studied, if you have a question about that, but if you have any questions on what Phil has just shared with you, and that you don't have anybody in your life that that can answer those questions. Maybe you don't have a pastor, you don't go to church, you just happen to catch this program this morning. Well, it's not by accident that you caught it this morning, so I do want to put this out there that if you do have questions, get in contact with us. You can go to our website, lifesongradio.com. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's a contact form. Fill that out. It comes directly to us, and we will get in contact with you as soon as possible to answer your questions, because we do. We want to help anybody who has any questions at all regarding anything. I mean, if you're already born again and you just have questions, if we can answer it, we'll definitely do so. If we don't, we'll put you in touch with somebody who can, for sure.
Yep.
Well, Phil, this has been a, like you said, an eye-opening week. It's definitely been a week that just you know, and I think every week is, I hope every week is, just sets God on a pedestal where He needs to be, above all of us.
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Father, God, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, I think we have a problem. Not just unbelievers, but believers alike, understanding the gravity of Your grace. Father, we are completely, totally, as children of Yours, under Your grace. We no longer have to adhere to the law. We no longer have to worry about losing Your grace because we've messed up. God, thank You for that. Thank You for that truth. Thank You that we're no longer slaves to that. Thank You for the inheritance that You've sent in Your Son. Father, I just pray right now that if there be any amongst us, any listening right now that have never understood, that have never received Your grace, that, Lord, I pray first of all that You're working in their hearts. I pray that you're giving them the eyes and the ears to understand the truth of Your gospel, and you're doing a work in them right now and drawing them unto Yourself. But Lord, I just pray that You would send someone that would not only share the gospel, but also walk with them and teach them and help grow them in Christ. Father, we thank You for this opportunity. We thank You for what you're doing through this ministry, what You're doing in this community, through our lives. We thank You for it. We stand in awe of You every day. I know I do personally, that You would use someone like me, the life that I've lived and the things that I've done and the things that I don't even know, that You would choose to continue to work out Your redemptive plan throughout the history of this world. You would use me in some small way. God, I thank You for it, and I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. And so I thank You for that. We love You, and we always give You all of the honor, all of the praise, and all of the glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here. Thank you, Phil. We will see you back here next week. Don't forget about our website, lifesongradio.com.
All right. Looking forward to next week.
Does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be.
Psalm 69:30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. This is Life Song Radio.